Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava. Vi Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Vala Bhagiri Varadhari Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Vala Bhagiri Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Raja Janaran Yamuna Tiravanachari Ravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Bihari Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Vala Bhagiri Varadhari Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Ravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhujakacharya Astotra Satya Shishi Mad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhujakacharya Stotra Satya Shishi Mad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Iskan BBD Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavindam Ki Jai Mayapurdam Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, The Status Quo, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Today we're doing text 21 through 26. We'll just quickly, 21 through 25 have no purports, so we'll just quickly read through them. Kate shata jitok shata kardamas tena chodita yatoditam swaduhitre pradad vishwasrijam tata. O Vidura, after the departure of Brahma, Kardama Muni, having been ordered by Brahma, handed over his nine daughters, as instructed, to the nine great sages who created the population of the world. Marichaye kalam pradad anasuyam matatraye shradhamangirase yachat pulastyaya havir bhuvam pulahayagatim yuktam kratave cha kriyam satim kyatim cha brigave yachad vashishtayapya rundatim. Kardama Muni handed over his daughter Kala to Marichi, and another daughter, Anasuya, to Atri. He delivered Shraddha to Angira and Havir Bhu to Palastya. He delivered Gati to Pulaha, the chaste Kriya to Kratu, Kyati to Brigu, and Arundhati to Vishishta. Atarvane didachantim yaya yagyo vitanyate viprarshaban kritodvahan Sadaran Samalalayat. He delivered Shanti to Atharva. Because of Shanti, sacrificial ceremonies are well performed. Thus he got the foremost Brahmanas married, and he maintained them along with their wives. 25. Tatasta rishayakshata krittadara nemanchatam patishtanandim apana Swam swam ashrama mandalam. Thus married, the sages took leave of Kardama and departed full of joy, each for his own hermitage, O Vidura. And 26 will do together as usual. Sachavatirnan triyugam agyaya vibhudarshabam vivik Da upasangamya pranamya samabhashata sachavatirnam triyugam agyaya vibhudarshabam vivikta upasangamya pranamya samabhashata Sachavatirnam triyugam agyaya vibhudarshabam vivikta upasangamya pranamya samabhashata. Vivikta upasangamya pranamya samabhashita. Sachavatirnam triyugam agyaya vibhudarshabam vivikta upasangamya pranamya samabhashita sachavatirnam triyugam agyaya vibhudarshabam Vivikta upasangamya. Mabhashata. Satavitirnan triyugam. Agyaya vibhudarshabam. Vivikta upasangamya. Pranamya samabhashata. Sa, the sage Kardama. Cha, and. Avatirnam, descended. Triyugam, Vishnu. Agyaya, having understood. Vibhudarishabham, the chief of the demigods. Vivikte, in a secluded place. Upasangamya, having approached. Pranamya, offering obeisances. Samabhashata, he spoke. Translation. When Kardama Muni understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chief of all the demigods, Vishnu, had descended, Kardama approached him in a secluded place, offered obeisances, and spoke as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu is called Triyuga. He appears in three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. But in Kali Yuga, he does not appear. From the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, however, we understand that he appears garbed as a devotee in Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya is that devotee. Krishna appeared in the form of a devotee, but although he never disclosed himself, Rupa Goswami could understand his identity, for the Lord cannot hide himself from a pure devotee. Rupa Goswami detected him when he offered his first obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. He knew that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself, and therefore offered his obeisances with the following words. I offer my respects to Krishna, who has now appeared as Lord Chaitanya. This is also confirmed in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. In Kali Yuga, he does not directly appear, but he appears as a devotee. Vishnu, therefore, is known as Triyuga. Another explanation of Triyuga is that he has three pairs of divine attributes, namely, power and affluence, piety and renown, and wisdom and dispassion. According to Sridhar Swami, his three pairs of opulences are complete riches and complete strength, complete fame and complete beauty, and complete wisdom and complete renunciation. There are different interpretations of Triyuga, but it is accepted by all learned scholars that Triyuga means Vishnu. When Kardama Muni understood that his son Kapila was Vishnu himself, he wanted to offer his obeisances. Therefore, when Kapila was alone, he offered his respects and expressed his mind as follows. Sachavatirnam triyugam agyaya vibhudarshabam vivikta upasangamya pranamya samabhashata. When Kardama Muni understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chief of all the demigods, Vishnu, had descended, Kardama approached him in a secluded place, offered obeisances, and spoke as follows. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswate Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavari, Paschatya Desha Tarine. So I don't really have anything to say about those first four or five, whatever it was, verses. But when I read it first for preparing for class, I thought of a Prabhupada story. I don't know if anyone can guess which one. I think it was told a few weeks ago also, I think, that Prabhupada was visiting some Indian person's house, And the head of the household came forward and said, introducing everyone, here's my wife, here's my son, here's my daughter, here's my nephew, here's my son-in-law, here's my daughter, like that. And Prabhupada, sort of in an aside to the devotees, said, this is my sex life. So I thought about that as this was being described. I laughed a little, but then I kind of caught myself, you know, who am I, dyed-in-the-wool grihasta myself, to laugh at these great sages. Yes, this is their sex life, but this is also dharma avaruda. This is proper sex life according to the order of their father and their guru, Lord Brahma, according to the instructions of Vishnu himself for populating the universe. So it's not something to laugh at in the same way as, you know, a materialistic person's sense gratification. But anyway, just wanted to share that little bit. And then in the final verse, the verse we all did together, this is right before Kardama's prayers. Interesting, a lot of times, either in the first verse of a series of famous prayers, or here it's the verse before, which is sort of a preamble to it, there's very often these very, like, intense verses, intense in the sense that they're establishing very strongly certain tattvas about who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to understand him, and enabling us, by knowing that, to appreciate all the other prayers afterwards. So I was thinking of that just like a Brahma Samhita's famous example, starting at Ishvara Parama Krishna. What a famous verse and full of, you know, powerful explanation about the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his body of transcendental bliss, knowledge, and consciousness, and he's the source of everything. Queen Kunti prayers are like that. There's the, I have to refresh my memory. Oh yeah, that night, there's a terrific tape of Prabhupada doing the prayers of Shukadev Goswami, where he's doing it just himself with kartal accompaniment. So the first prayer there also, Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase, Sarud bhavastana nirodalilaya, grahita shakti trityaya dehinam, antar bhavayanu palakshyavartmane. Again, a first verse of a series of famous verses that's really establishing important tattva. I offer my obeisances to parasmai purushaya bhuyase, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Person, bhuyase, who is the source of the being and becoming and existence of everything. Sadud Bhavastana Naroda Lilaya, he's the source of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of everything. Grahita Shakti Chittayaya Dehinam, he manages everything in this world through the expansions of his material energies as the three gunas. And Dehinam Antar Bhavayanu Palakshya Vartmane, he's within everything. But upalakshya vartmane, his path, his activities, his behavior is completely untraceable or incomprehensible to all the material beings. So anyway, today's verse is also, although it's actually before the verses, it's also doing the same thing, establishing important tattvas before Kardama Muni's prayer. So first of all, Sachavatirnam, so he's avatirna. This is the same root, same meaning as avatar. Avatirna means he's descended, the Supreme Lord, you've descended to this world. So that carries a lot of import in itself. If he's descended, that means he comes from somewhere above us. Otherwise, what's the meaning of descending? So this is implying the Lord's transcendental nature. Transcendental means that he's above. He's above this material nature. He's above the individual souls of this world. So avatirna, that his nature is different than the nature of this material world. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta, right? That the Lord and his energy are above. So therefore, because he's above, when he comes, he's descending. He descends as Kapila. He ascends as the holy name. He descends in the deity form. All of these are descents. Satchavatirnam Triyugam. Triyugam we'll put aside for now and we'll come back to that since that's Prabhupada's main topic. Agyaya. Agyaya means that understanding properly. Agyaya. Gyaya means knowledge. It's not agyaya with a short A. That means not understanding. But agyaya with the long A means that Kardama fully understood who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Remember, he'd been worshiping him his whole life, meditating upon him his whole life. He had actually already met him just a chapter or two previously. The Supreme Lord personally, again, avatirna, came down from the spiritual world on the back of Garuda to personally see Kardama. So Kardama is agyaya. He's understanding who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, his nature, his pastimes, his qualities. And because of that, that means Kardama is a person worth worshiping, worth hearing from, worth learning from his life. And therefore, there's this big section of the Bhagavatam leading up to the appearance of Kapila. So important, all because Kardama is such a great person. We don't want to study the life of some little, insignificant, mundane person who doesn't understand Krishna. So he's agyaya. And this is how we understand Krishna from those who are agyaya. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. We can understand Krishna and receive instruction and receive diksha from tattva darshina, that person who actually has seen and understood the truth of Krishna. So this is like, this is Kardama. Or the other one that's from the Mahabharata, tarko pratishta shrutaya bibina. If you try to understand through argument, even just through shastra in isolation, from hearing from varieties of sages with their varying argumentative and contradictory positions, you won't be able to understand. But dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapanta. From the proper person, the proper devotee who has Krishna within his heart, means he's understood Krishna agyaya. That's the person you can understand from. Next is vibhudarshabam. This is interesting. Vibhuda actually literally just means, we know vibhuda, a learned person, a wise person. And rishabam means the best of. Literally, my limited understanding of Sanskrit, rishabam means a bull. So just like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is Bharatarshaba or Purusharshaba, O bull amongst the Bharata race. This means you're the strongest, you're the most powerful. So in general, we take rishabha means the best of, or the very prominent, or the very powerful of that group. So Krishna is, and vibhuda means learned person. In this sense, it's referring to the demigods because they're the most learned. So Krishna is vibhudarshabham. He's the best amongst all the devatas. You may think Indra is powerful with his thunderbolt, or Varuna is powerful controlling the oceans and the waters, or Surya, how powerful the sun is, we can't imagine. But Krishna is the best and the most powerful and the chief amongst all of them. Ahamadir hi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasa. That Adam Adir hi devanam, he's the head, the chief of all the demigods. This is the same as vibhudarshabam. What's next in this verse? Vivikta. This is also an interesting word. Vivikta means in an isolated place, or Prabhupada in the word for word says, in a secluded place. So this is literal meaning of vivikta. So Kardama Muni approached in some quiet, separate place where he could just be alone with his son, his so-called son, Lord Kapila, and speak to him and offer his prayers, offer his obeisances. Vivikta also means just like in a secluded place, it also means to quarantine. Like when there's a disease, quarantine means you go to a secluded, separate place to avoid infection. So this is also vivikta. So vivikta also means like this that maintaining some purity by being separate, by separating yourself from the material energy, from material activities. This is also vivicta. So this is also Kardama's qualification, not just that he went to some secret place in the woods, but that he was qualified by his purity, by his isolation, his quarantining himself from materialistic life. That's why he went to the forest and spent so many, you know, hundreds, thousands, however long it was, years like that. He was quarantining himself to maintain his purity, and therefore he was qualified for Lord Vishnu to visit him, twice, and for him to go and speak to him like that. So this is also vivicta. Vivicta upasangamya. And upasangamya means he was able to approach him. He was able to be with him, spend some time with him. Sangha. We hear the sangha in upasangamya. Also vivicta upasangamya not just means a isolated place he met him, but in a purified place he met him, and that's Bindu Sarovar. We heard earlier, last chapter maybe, how it's called Bindu Sarovar because out of his compassion, Lord Vishnu actually shed tears. Bindu, drops of tears, came into that lake. So what a holy place. He approached him in a holy place, in a pure place, and with pure consciousness. Pranamya, to offer his obeisances. He didn't approach, that means he didn't approach in a challenging way. He didn't approach in a overly bold or overly confident or as equals, but pranamya, offering his obeisances, submitting himself to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also the way that one receives and approaches the Lord, not by being an upstart. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread, right? So he was very humble, pranamya, offering his obeisances. And because of that, he met the Lord in samabhashita. He spoke to the Lord. Prabhupada just translates it as he spoke. But samabhashita, bhasha means talking. Samabhashita actually means like a conversation, like back and forth conversation. So that means he was speaking and the Lord was also speaking to him. So this is the great devotee. He can speak to, he could have a conversation with the Lord. I can't. I can try to pray to Krishna. I don't hear any response, but due to faith and whatever little knowledge I have, I understand that Krishna is hearing me and he's responding in some way for my benefit. But the devotee can actually talk to Krishna, have a conversation with Krishna. There's that great story that Prabhupada, I think he was arriving in an airport and he was being interviewed. And the interviewer said, how do you decide how to, you know, manage and run your movement? And Prabhupada said, Krishna tells me what to do. And Rameshwar was there and he felt that needed some explanation. So he said, oh, that means, you know, Krishna is in everyone's heart and he gives the intelligence. So in this way, you know, Prabhupada is getting the intelligence from Krishna how to manage the... And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna tells me. Krishna talks to me and tells me how to do. So this is a devotee of this stature can actually talk like that with Krishna, converse with Krishna, samabhashita. And this is Kardama, so wonderful, advanced, special devotee, and so much incredible lessons to be garnered from this whole pastime, from him and from his equally qualified wife, Devahuti, and all of these things we can learn. And then Triyugam. Because it's the class, I'm going to speak on it, but everyone here knows better than me what Triyugam is, that the Lord appears. We all know Prahlad Maharaj's explanation, which Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that Triyuga means he appears in Krita, Treta, and Dwapara Yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, but he doesn't appear in Kali Yuga. And of course, the explanation as he does, but he's covered. He's covered. He doesn't appear in an explicitly Krishna way, but he appears covered, Chana Avatar, as a devotee. So we all know this. Prabhupada explains it many times. But there's some other explanations. Prabhupada mentions one in the purport. Another, for those who want to be overly legalistic and say, oh, he's Triyuga, that means, you know, he simply can't appear in Kali Yuga. So Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Prabhupada also explain that there's another meaning of Triyuga that may make more sense to your, you know, overly literal, legalistic, non-devotional brain. That Triyuga, Yuga means a pair or couple. Just like, Rupa Raghunatha Paide Hoibe Akuti, Kabe Hama Bujabo Se Yugala Priti. Yugala Priti means, Yugala means the couple, the divine couple, Radha Krishna. That when you approach the lotus feet of Rupa Raghunath, when you hear the verses and the books and the compositions of Rupa Raghunath, then you could start to understand Yugala Priti, the loving affairs of the couple, the divine couple. And even in English, we have this word conjugal, and that comes from the Sanskrit, that Yugala, conjugal, same root. So Triyuga means two, tri means three couples, three pairs of things, which means three pairs of things is six, and those six things are aishwarasya samagrasya, viryasya yasasa shriya, jnana vairagayos chaiva, sanambhagam itigana, is that it? Krishna's six opulences. And Prabhupada, first he gives his own sort of little idiosyncratic description of these three pairs. He says, power and affluence, piety and renown, and wisdom and dispassion. And then he says, according to Sridhar Swami, and he lists the more conventional list of the six, Krishna's six opulences, complete riches and complete strength, aishwarasya samagrasya, virya, complete riches, complete strength, complete fame, and complete beauty, yasha and shri, complete wisdom, jnana, and complete renunciation, jnana vairagya. So this is another meaning of Triyuga, that, and Prabhupada says also, there are different interpretations of Triyuga, but it is accepted by all learned scholars that Triyuga means Vishnu. So in any case, it's Vishnu. But there's different understandings. And in one other place, in the third canto, there's got to be at least half a dozen or a dozen uses of the term Triyuga in the Bhagavatam. So the four Kumaras also addressed the Lord as Triyuga in the third canto. And there, Prabhupada gives a different understanding from Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary, that Triyuga means that in the different yugas, he teaches three principles which are prerequisites for taking up spiritual life, and that's cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. So those three things, Yugami teaches these three things in all the different yugas, cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. Truthfulness isn't mentioned because there's still some trace of truthfulness left. But so many different meanings of Triyuga, either for those who are overly legalistic, but as Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially, we understand that this means Triyuga is Vishnu, and it specifically references the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anarpita charim chirat karunayavatirna kalo. That the Lord does appear kalo in Kali Yuga. And not only he appears, but he appears to give something which he hardly ever gives. And he gives it, by giving it, that makes him the most merciful incarnation and appearance of the Supreme Lord. So he does appear in Kali Yuga. He's covered, but he appears. He indisputably appears and appears in the most incredible way. You could say he appears more because he's appearing in this very fullest way, as Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Just like another time, Prabhupada was speaking, and someone asked who Lord Chaitanya is, so Prabhupada asked one of his disciples to explain. And the disciples started to explain, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation of Krishna. And Prabhupada interrupted, stopped, and he said, no, not incarnation. He's the source of all incarnations. He's directly Krishna himself. So Triyuga implies not just the appearance in Kali Yuga covered, but that it's the most amazing appearance of Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he's not Amsakala, but he's actually Krishna. Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam applies equally to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they're identical, just showing different aspects, different forms. And those who can't understand that, who can't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you can't understand or won't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that also means you can't understand Krishna, because it's such an important aspect of Krishna's existence. Just like I said, sometimes Triyuga, someone may have an overly legalistic understanding of that. So one such person was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya before his deliverance. After Mahaprabhu came to Puri, and without going into the whole story, we know he appeared, he passed out unconscious in the temple of Lord Jagannath, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there and wanted to help, in air quotes, help this young sannyasi. Oh, well, he's young sannyasi, he's liable to be attracted by lust. Let me instruct him in Vedanta. Oh, he's in this this particular sannyas line, which is not the most reputable. I'll reinitiate him into a more so-called elevated sannyas line. So his Sarvabhauma's brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, is it? Gopinathacharya, he was a great devotee. And Prabhupada said they had a very close relationship. So because they were close and friendly, sometimes Gopinath would speak very harshly to him, even insultingly. So he was trying to explain to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this is not just some person, some sannyasi. This is the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as a learned scholar, although mundane, couldn't understand. He says, let's see. First of all, the Bhattacharya said, we are just having a discussion among friends and considering the points described in the scriptures. Do not become angry. I am simply speaking on the strength of the scriptures. Please don't take any offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly a great, uncommon devotee, but we cannot accept him as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu because according to Shastra, there is no incarnation in this age of Kali. Another name for Lord Vishnu is Triyuga, because there is an incarnation of Lord, because there is no incarnation of Lord Vishnu in Kali Yuga. Indeed, this is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. So he's quoting scriptures, and at least he's accepting, okay, Triyuga means Vishnu, but he's not understanding the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gopinathacharya did not like this argument at all. Gopinathacharya became very unhappy. He said to the Bhattacharya, you consider yourself the knower of all Vedic scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Mahabharat are the two most important Vedic scriptures, but you have paid no attention to their statements. In Srimad Bhagavatam and the Mahabharat, it is stated that the Lord appears directly. But you say that in this age there is no manifestation or incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Gopinathacharya continued, there is certainly an incarnation in every age, and such an incarnation is called the Yuga Avatar. But your heart has become so hardened by logic and argument that you cannot consider all these facts. And he quotes as additional proof, as additional reference, the verse from the name-giving ceremony of Krishna by Gargamuni. In the past, your son has had bodies of three different colors according to the age. These colors were white, red, and yellow. In this age, he has accepted a blackish body. So Gopinathacharya argues, well, he's mentioning in the different ages and four colors. That means logically, he appears in four yugas. So I'm preaching to the choir. Everyone here knows this about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Prabhupada discusses it a lot in his classes. It doesn't take much for him to, you know, discuss this topic or at least mention it about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another verse from Bhagavatam. In the age of Kali, as well as in Dwapara Yuga, the people offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by various mantras and observe the regulative principles of the supplementary Vedic literatures. Now please hear this from me. And after that is the famous verse, very famous 11th canto verse, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtanai Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. In this age of Kali, those who are intelligent perform the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in this age always describing the glories of Krishna. That incarnation is yellowish in hue and is always associated with his plenary expansion, such as Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and personal expansions, such as Gadadhar, as well as his devotees and associates, such as Swarup Damodar. So this is Triyuga. Like I said, we all know this, but it's nice to hear. It was nice for me to study it and speak about it. Hopefully it's nice for everyone too. So this is Triyuga, and this is this beautiful pastime, Kardama Muni, why he's so qualified, and we'll hear his prayers. He's getting ready to leave. He had spent so many years in the forest alone. He had spent also many years, although by proportion, maybe not so many, out of his whole life of sadhana as a married person. Now he's looking forward to returning to that life. One little side note one may ask, I've asked, his son is Vishnu. Why would he want to leave? So one is, this is coming from my brain, not from the scriptures, that he obviously likes this life. He enjoys this life of living in the forest and meditating and austerities. He likes it. So this is how he likes to worship the Lord. And the other thing is coming from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in a commentary, a handful of verses ahead of this. He says that all his life, Kardama had worshiped the Lord in the mood of Dasya Bhav. And he felt uncomfortable if he stayed to mix it with the Vatsalya Bhav, that he'd have to be his father. He felt a little uncomfortable with that. It wasn't really his mood. So that for that also, he felt like, oh, better I, you know, leave and go to my meditation where I could focus on the mood, which is my actual relationship with the Lord. But anyway, such a great devotee. Like I said, in two separate avatirno, in two separate descents, the Lord visited him twice, and they had this wonderful relationship. So much nice things here. Okay, at 1:45, we'll end here. Thank you very much, everybody, for your very kind attention. If there's any questions or comments, we can discuss now.
In the verse 24, the first one you recited this morning, it says, thus Kardama got the foremost Brahmins married, and he maintained them along with their wives. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that meant. He didn't really maintain them in any economic sense. I don't know what it means.
Okay.
Unless, you know, of course, it said the greatest wealth is kanyadan, to give a, you know, qualified daughter in marriage to a qualified person. That's like the greatest giving of wealth. So that's just an idea. But other than that, I don't know what it means. Yes.
Hare Krishna. When you were describing yuga and yugala, what I also thought of is yoga. I don't know whether but yoga, we say, means to link.
Yeah.
And I always think of it, an ox yoke, linking the two boys together.
Yeah, there is a etymological link between those terms. Uh-huh. Although I'm not a Sanskritist enough to know the details, but they are related.
And then just now, when you were getting to the end point about, I'm preaching to the choir, we all accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I'm aware that in congregations that are more Hindu dynamic, many, many people have never heard of Lord Chaitanya. And so what I wondered about, I think the other day, Ragatmika asked a question about the verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, one who understands in truth goes back to Godhead. But you just said if one doesn't understand Lord Chaitanya, then he doesn't really understand Krishna. So could you speak on that, maybe?
Yeah, sure, I'll say a little bit. I'll tell a quick story first. Before I became a devotee, I had fairly, relatively speaking, extensive contact with Indian and Vedic stuff. I had spent a year in an ashram of a different group, so I knew a little bit. And then the temple I first joined, the Long Island Temple, Mother Guru Prasad was there, one of the few women allowed to live in the temple at that time because of her great Sankirtan prowess. But I went there, and I went into the temple the first time after moving in Mangalarti the next day, and I was looking at the deities, Nimai Nitai, and I was looking at them trying to figure out, and I said, they're both guys, because I knew about Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, I knew about that, but I was like, they're both guys. And a devotee started explaining to me, oh, Chaitanya, like we heard in the Prabhupada saying, Chaitanya and Nityananda is expansions. So I didn't know also, and I had to learn that, and I'm still learning that. But yeah, people don't know. New people in the West certainly don't know, and even in India, they don't know or don't understand fully. So yeah, and we should never think, you know, I am knowing, right? We mock like that. I am knowing Krishna, or I am knowing Mahaprabhu. No, we're not. So preaching to ourselves, preaching to the choir is good. Actually, you should the choir needs to be preached to also, and we need to preach to ourselves, and we need to preach to the world. And, you know, gradually understanding who is Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, their relationship, and the different avatars, and so much. And, you know, that's a whole, you know, another class in itself, but just a couple of thoughts. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Would you elaborate a little more on why it is or how it is that truthfulness is more, let's say, more present as opposed to the other three?
Well, the main thing is that, because that's how it's described in like in the first canto when Parikshit meets the bull, and the bull is a bull, but he's also an analogy. And the four legs of the bull are representing these four principles of Dharma: cleanliness, mercy, austerity, and truthfulness. And it's described that the three legs were broken and he was shaky on one leg. So it's described that one leg is truthfulness. There's still a little trace of truthfulness. That mercy, austerity, and cleanliness are more or less finished, but at least truthfulness, even an ordinary person can still today appreciate truth. No one likes to be lied to, even though we may be filthy and unmerciful and not austere, but if someone lies to us or if we're caught in a lie, even today people can understand that's not a good thing. So that's my understanding, but mainly because that's how it's described, that in the four ages, one by one, those four qualities are being eliminated, and that in Kali Yuga, the last quality to be eliminated is truthfulness. And we're still very early in Kali Yuga. We're still in the Yuga Sandhya, actually, between Dwapara and Kali. So there's still some trace of truthfulness. That's my understanding of it.
Thank you.
Is that
as you were speaking, I was thinking, yeah, for the other three, what's the normal standard? We for most people don't see it as low, but it is actually very low.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah. And And there's also, you know, of course, we want to, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, he's true yoga because he's teaching that. Cleanliness, mercy, austerity, that's also the basis of our four regulative principles, that those correspond, if not in a one-to-one way, at least in a general way, those correspond. Those are like the negative side is don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And that corresponds to do this, cleanliness, mercy, austerity, truthfulness.
Thank you.
Yes.
Nice class. I just want to mention, when I was in Vrindavan, so many pilgrims will come, and they said, you know, they know Krishna, Shyam Sundar and Radharani, and Krishna Balaram. And they said, this? Who? But as soon as you tell them Krishna or Balaram, or this is Krishna too, they went and they'll pay obeisances immediately. You know, so they accept it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, if you're willing to accept that. Even you don't know.
Yeah, right. Right away they accept. And then later on they'll ask questions. But I was always moved that they go right away and put their head down and the obeisances.
Yeah. And Prabhupada has commented, especially about Indian culture, Indian population, if they have that quality, that they're willing to accept, willing to hear, willing to accept the authority of Shastra, the authority of a saintly person, that's a good thing. That is, you know, different in the West.
Chaitanya is so beautiful anyway, who will not accept him?
If I remember correctly, Bhakti Purushottama Maharaj said that, who is from Puri, I think, and he said that he didn't know about Lord Chaitanya before he came to Krishna consciousness. Yeah, myself also, it took me a long time to accept Lord Chaitanya. Mm. I mean, Prabhupada said, so I accepted, okay, that's God, but to actually think that he is Krishna, it's only one time I read a BTG, this was after I had joined and everything, and I read a BTG article, and that BTG article stated all the different scriptures reference about Lord Chaitanya being God. And then I'm like, okay, he's mentioned. So I was like, okay, he's accepted. It's funny, before that I never read the CC, but once I accepted that, then somehow that I started reading CC, not consciously, just I guess Lord Chaitanya's mercy was there. But I don't know if you remember, but I think Giriraj Maharaj one time said something to the extent that Prabhupada said that even if people don't accept Lord Chaitanya as God, but if he accepted him as a great devotee, then they would make advancement or something. Do you know if that he make...
I haven't heard that explicitly, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah, something like
that. And even, you know, I make a statement that you can't understand Krishna if you don't understand Mahaprabhu. Yeah. And I stand by that statement, but at the same time, in our line, there are so many worshippers of Krishna who attain perfection. But at least if you want to understand Krishna in the way that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas understand Krishna, at least that much. If you want to understand Krishna in that way, you have to understand and accept Mahaprabhu.
Now I'm remembering that Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, he wanted that the devotees make dolls. Now they're making little Gornitai. And distribute widely. Mm. And it wasn't necessarily that people will get these dolls and know who they are. But his faith was that Lord Chaitanya is so merciful.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's just in somebody's house, he'll give them so much mercy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's especially notable in when you see it in the context of his other statements about deity worship, you know, not casually, you know, keeping the deity like on a shelf or in a bookcase or whatever, but for Mahaprabhu, that opening or access is there, yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
There are two things that I'd like to say in relationship to your excellent class. One is that in the seventh chapter of Adi Lila, It's explained there in one of the first verses that Lord Chaitanya devised a trick to attract the student community, the impersonalists, the Buddhists, etc., that he took sannyas.
Yeah.
And that was a trick because they would have to offer obeisances unto his lotus feet. So that's the scriptural description.
Yeah, that's nice. That's part of his chana avatar, that is covered avatar. First, he appears as a devotee so that people would accept him, and also, like you explained, as a sannyasi so that the puffed-up students and others would respect him.
The second thing I want to say is that in one of the books, such as Lilamrita or Harisari's diary, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada why he was installing Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, because it would make more sense to install Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, because everyone worships Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And he said, I'm installing Krishna Balaram because if they come and they pay their obeisances to Krishna Balaram, they'll be paying their obeisances to Gaur Nitai. And if they don't worship Gaur Nitai, they'll never understand Radha and Krishna.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's nice because in general, the real intelligence of Prabhupada to choose the deities that he did for Vrindavan, you know, Krishna Balaram and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that access was there to Mahaprabhu, and also Radha Shyama Sundar, because it's Vrindavan. So that real intelligence of Prabhupada was there in those choices. Also, I wanted to say, I think it was your question about that even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his younger days, he didn't know about Mahaprabhu. And then he finally learned, and he was like looking everywhere, where can I get Chaitanya Charitamrita? He couldn't find a copy for a long, long time. So even he apparently didn't know for a long time about who Mahaprabhu was, and he found out, and it opened up a whole, a whole world for him learning that. And just like I said at the very beginning, like the first verse of a set of prayers has some important tattva. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's like that whole first chapter is there, to establish who is Mahaprabhu, what is his actual identity, what's the Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rasmat, that whole verse explaining in one verse so much that you could understand who is Radha Krishna, who is Mahaprabhu, their unity, their diversity, explained so beautifully. So just wanted to throw that out. Anything else?
I was just thinking about Srila Prabhupada, as Ganga Narayan Prabhu was talking about how he installed Krishna Balaram. I was just appreciating how Srila Prabhupada is such a revolutionary person, not just followed things, so to speak, yeah? And there's always some good reasons, but just like he installed Krishna Balaram right in Vrindavan, yeah? Similarly, everybody in Vrindavan says Jai Radhe, Radhe Radhe, and Prabhupada responds, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
I was thinking, that is our Srila Prabhupada, so unique and so revolutionary and so, just appreciating that.
And Maha Mantra, it's Hari and Rama, so that's also Krishna and Balaram. I'm sorry, Krishna and Rama. That's also Krishna and Balaram, but it's also Hari and Krishna. It's also Radha Krishna. So that altar, that Vrindavan altar, is like embodied in the Maha Mantra, all those different aspects of Krishna and worshiping Krishna.
I was thinking too, like especially in ISKCON, we have the cream of the crop. If you don't read Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is so sweet and so intimate Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how to be a devotee. Mm. Just think what you're missing if you don't know about Lord Chaitanya. I mean, his dealing with the devotees are so sweet, and the way he instructs, the philosophy comes out, you know, very practical, you know, how to behave. He's missing out a lot.
Yeah.
So you, whatever stage you learn of Lord Chaitanya is okay. I was just thinking too, in Vrindavan, when the devotees, the Brajvasi, will see the Westerners or see devotees, instead of saying Jai Radhe, they'll say Hare Krishna, you know, over the years. So it's amazing what Prabhupada has done. It's amazing. In Vrindavan, you really, really taste that.
Yeah.
You know, see how he's transformed. I mean, Vrindavan is Vrindavan, you know, but Prabhupada, somehow or other, he brought Lord Chaitanya there, he brought his sweetness, he brought, you know, really nice. When I lived there, I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you. That's also why Narottam said, if you don't understand, if you don't study the books of the Goswamis, you can't understand Krishna, because the Goswamis are the direct disciples and students of Mahaprabhu and teaching, just like we're hearing every Saturday, Mahaprabhu teaching Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, you teach like this, like this, like this. So, yeah, at least if we want to be members of ISKCON, we have to do that. And like you say, that's the sweetest, topmost, most excellent. We can accept all religions, all bona fide religions, all religious practices, and encourage people in different ways. But, you know, it sounds prideful, but we have the very best method and the highest goal and the most perfect process and the best acharya and everything. Okay. It's late. Thank you very much, everybody, for your very kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, I just want to make a comment that following the order of Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness, Pataka Swami, is installing, you know, the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan. You know, I was present in the Kusum Sharovar and all the places the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan. In around Vrindavan, he installed the lotus feet. So the Brajavasis now, you know more about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's doing it all over India, but also in Vrindavan. Thank you.
Jai. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Vancha Kalpa Thru Vyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha, Petit Nam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.